Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. Today's episode concludes our week-long look behind the scenes at Phoenix Comic Con and Phoenix Fan Fest. In this episode, I'm going to be talking to Jillian Squires. She's the director of marketing for Phoenix Comic Con. So before we get into that interview, I just want to remind everybody for the last time that Phoenix Fan Fest is coming up December 4th, 5th, and 6th. It'll be here before you know it. It's going to be held at the University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. A significantly smaller show than Phoenix Comic Con. Probably can just hit it for one day and see everything that's there to see and do some shopping. As I mentioned before, great place to do some shopping for the holidays. If you have people in your life who are interested in comics or just like to read, comics is a great way to get your reading fix. There'll also be plenty of other unique pop culture items and comic-related items for sale, as well as artists there where you can get some prints or perhaps an original piece of art done. There's also going to be several celebrity guests from sci-fi shows like Doctor Who and Battlestar Galactica. So be sure and check it out. Badges start at only $10. Go to phoenixcomiccon.com to get more info. All right, I'm going to play the interview now with Jillian. I hope you enjoy it. Once again, I want to thank everyone for listening and for joining me on this week-long look behind the scenes at a massive pop culture convention. We'll talk to you next time.
Okay, this is Jace from The Comic Source here with another in-depth interview about the workings behind the scenes at Phoenix Comic Con. I'm here with Jillian Squires, Director of Marketing. I want to thank you for taking some time to talk to me.
I'm glad to have you here.
Get to educate our listeners on just what it takes to put on a giant, massive, cool pop culture show like Phoenix Comic Con. So I wonder, Jillian, if you could talk a little bit about your background in marketing.
I have an MBA in marketing, with the marketing emphasis, I guess is how you're supposed to say it. I worked at GoDaddy in their marketing department before I got snatched up, and now work here.
How did that happen? How did you go from GoDaddy to working for the Phoenix Comic Con?
So I'm a cosplayer, so I dress up with the Rebel Legion, the Star Wars costuming group, and 2010 I was at Phoenix Comic Con as a costumer, and somebody made some comment about them needing some marketing help, and I had just finished my degree, and I said, hey, I'd love to help, and they took me on as a volunteer, and now I get to do it for a full-time job.
Cool. I wonder, I spoke earlier with Stephanie, marketing manager, so I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the differences for those that aren't clear on what are the differences, and I know it varies from company to company. So here, as it pertains to Phoenix Comic Con, what are the differences between her position as marketing manager and your position as director of marketing?
So she reports directly to me, and she focuses on one part of the marketing. We've played with different titles, like online marketing, communication marketing, something like that, but her real focus is websites, social media, and then she also helps with the press and media, bloggers. It's all kind of in that same realm of communicating out. I also have teams that do street team. I have the art team under me. I have photographers under me. I have the info desk staff under me. And I'm forgetting someone, I'm sure. program guide. That's the other one I do. So I have more expanded responsibility. She's got a little bit more focused.
Okay. So basically, if we could put your job in a nutshell, marketing, it's getting the Phoenix Comic Con, the experience, the name, the event out there, making people aware that it exists.
Yep.
Right? How do you do that? How do you reach, I know that's a broad question, but how do you reach more fans? What are your current focuses on expanding, the knowledge for the general person on the street of being aware that there's this awesome event that they should be going to?
There's kind of two focuses right now. The online aspect, which is, again, Stephanie, is that social media, when we do surveys after the show, a lot of the percentage that hear about it from Facebook is 30%. So there has to be a focus there. Most of us get our information from Facebook, even news now. So there's a big emphasis on that. And then I also have the street team, which is got cool little flyers or booklets, information that they go out to events. They just did a leukemia walk. They're at school's Harvest Festival. They went to the zombie walk downtown. They're all over the place handing out buttons and taking pictures and bringing costume characters and then talking about the convention. So we're both trying to hit people online and then when they actually go outside.
Do you feel like from your surveys and the feedback you've gotten that you're reaching more people?
Yes. Most of them hear about us from one of those two ways. And our growth numbers have been pretty awesome. Now, the last 2 years, we saw an interesting shift where people kind of took there was a group of people who didn't come to 2015 that had previously been coming. So that was filled with a whole new group of people. So it'll be kind of interesting to see if in 2016, both of those groups return.
Do you feel like you're reaching the right fans? I mean, it would seem that you are with the growth, right?
I feel like we are. We're in pretty much every pop culture thing we can find in the Valley. What I'm looking for now is a little bit more of the casual people. Maybe they enjoyed a Marvel movie, but they never read a Marvel comic. Maybe they'll discover the comics when they come. It's kind of the hope is to open them up to this world. So we've been moving into a lot more mainstream now. Again, leukemia walks, fall festivals, trying to just find a little bit more of an audience that maybe just didn't even know Comic-Cons were cool.
Do you feel that there's still room for growth, that Phoenix Comic-Con can get even bigger?
I think so. I think the audience I'm hoping to see is a little bit more the national audience. I'd really love to see some people travel into the city. There's a lot to offer in Phoenix. I know it's kind of hot when our show is going on, but I think both us and downtown would benefit for some more travelers.
Do you feel the show can also get better?
Oh, of course! That's the point, right? We learn something every year that we can improve. Line and Axis is a great example. It's taken us a while to figure out the best way to move people around that convention center because it's got some wonky walkways that collide. And I don't know that we've perfected it, but every year we try something new and every year we learn something to be better. And I think that's part of what, to me, makes Phoenix Comic Con so great is our willingness to learn and to grow. We even go to other shows and find out what works with them. We talk to other show creators to find out what they feel is the working really well for them because that may be something that we didn't think of. The more minds we have working on it, I think the better we can make the show.
Switching gears a little from marketing to the casual fan or someone you want to turn into attendee, you also have to market yourself to potential guests and publishers, right? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. It's a very different world. With the actors, it's all about relationships. We have been working to cultivate really good relationship with their agents. And giving the actors a really amazing experience. Because when they have an amazing experience, they go back and tell all their friends, and then their friends want to come. A really good example is Bruce Campbell that came out. He didn't do shows for a very long time, or maybe did a very rare show. But he kept hearing from other actors and actresses that our show was great and he should do it. And so he had his agent get in contact with us. The first year we couldn't do it because of his filming schedule, and then I think it was Lost or whatever show, 24, I don't remember, so bad. Whatever he was on finished, and so he came to our show the next year. Because he heard the reputation. We have a reputation of taking care of guests. And that has been really key in wooing those agents and those actors. Publishers, it's the same thing. It's building a relationship. So we've been bringing out agents from the publishers for years, wooing them and helping them, you know, see the benefit of being there. And they're starting to show a lot of interest. Some of the bigger ones from the books and stuff too, as well as some of the comic publishers. It's just a matter of it lining up with their ability to be at another show.
It sounds like a Herculean task. You do a great job. I have to give you kudos for that.
Thank you.
How do you feel that your shows, both Phoenix Comic Con and Phoenix Fan Fest, how do you feel they differ? I mean, it seems like there's a I should say, differ from other shows out there? Like, why should one of our listeners who hasn't attended the show, why should they make it a point to come to Phoenix Comic Con? I mean, there's a show every weekend, it seems like, now, right?
There is. And I think we counted, there was 200 shows that have actors, because we're looking at the actors having to go different places. But there's even more that the comic creators are going to. And it can be, I mean, these people sometimes do 40, 50 shows a year. I mean, it's insane. We have kind of a goal that we always talk about, and it's exceeding expectations. And that comes straight from the top. Every one of us is trying to exceed expectations. And I think that it gives our show a feel that is different from other shows. The staff, so far in my experience, has always been friendlier. They're trying. They really want every attendee to have a good adventure at our show. And they're huge fans themselves. There isn't anyone working on this show that isn't into some part of the pop culture. Nobody's here just for a paycheck or just for experience on their resume. They're here because they love it. And that passion and that love shows through in everything they do.
The shows themselves, we have the Fan Fest coming up in just a few short weeks here, kind of the winter show and the cooler weather. Do you want those two shows, from a marketing standpoint, to have a different feel, a different focus?
I do. FanFest was really created to be a smaller event. We wanted it to be smaller, to be intimate, to really focus on our comic creators that are out there. We're still building some of those relationships, so we haven't quite gotten the guests we really want at FanFest, but we'll get there in the next couple of years as the show kind of develops its own following. But it should be separate. It's never meant to be Comic-Con 2. It was meant to be its own show with its own identity. And part of that is letting us allow it to get its own identity. One of the things that's really happening is that it's becoming a holiday shopping show. People just love going in there and shopping. And I did too. I bought all my Christmas presents for my family there. And we didn't go in thinking that, but we've kind of watched what the attendees are using it for, and we're trying to develop what they're looking for.
I imagine part of the challenge, being that it's so close to Christmas, is from a guest perspective, them wanting to take some time off. Like you said, you know, some of these people are doing 45, 50 shows a year. So that has to be a challenge.
It is for some and it isn't for others. It's really interesting. Some of them don't have anything else going on and they're like, great, I'll come on down. And then others are, you know, filming and they don't want to do anything during December because they're busy. It's kind of the same struggle that we have with our big event, which was a surprise. We thought the same thing, that it would be much freer, it'd be easy to get people, but it still has a lot of challenges.
Yeah, everybody's busy all the time, a lot of balls in the air.
Yeah, yeah, but there aren't a lot of shows in December, so we don't have a ton of competition in that field.
So that's a positive aspect.
Yeah.
And would you say that maybe somebody who's unsure if they want to go to the bigger show because they're worried it's so crowded, or that they should dip their toe in the water with a Fan Fest and kind of get a feel?
I highly recommend it. In fact, my sister, who has social anxiety, is flying in from Washington to go to Fan Fest. She wants to go to Comic-Con, but she's afraid. And so this is it's a much calmer atmosphere. One of the cool things about the stadium is the sound kind of dissipates, so it doesn't sound crowded either. So it doesn't have that sensory overload that Phoenix Comic-Con has. I kind of call it a gateway. It's a really amazing place to start.
Okay, and what would you say to someone who's looking to be a volunteer? What's the best way to, I mean, because you said yourself you started out as a volunteer, right? And now here you are, somewhat of a dream job.
Yes, complete dream job. Never even thought this job existed.
Okay, so someone who's looking to volunteer, to kind of take that next step beyond just being a guest, become a more integral part of the community. What's the best avenue for someone that wants to do that?
The best and easiest is to email volunteers@phoenixcomiccon.com. We have a team that's dedicated just to helping volunteers, you know, come on board, find a position, you know, figure out what they want to do with the convention and talk to them about the different aspects. There's almost 2,000 volunteer positions in the organization. Now, for FanFest, it's like 370, but for the big show, it's 1,000, 2,000, so many people. So there's a lot of different roles that you can encompass. So that team is really good at working with you on finding out what your passion is, or maybe what you want to learn about. Because I have people in my marketing team that do construction during the day. It's totally out of their realm, but it's something they wanted to learn. And we're totally willing to teach and do those things. So that email is the best way to start.
Okay, now for my last question, something a little more personal. You've been involved with Phoenix Comic Con for a few years now. I wonder if you, I mean, maybe it's not just one, maybe it's two or three, but a favorite moment, maybe a geek out moment, you got to meet a guest or what could you, what springs to mind when I say that favorite moment?
I met Patrick Rothfuss. I am a big reader. And I just love the depth of detail on his books. And he had his kid with him, and he had finished with a panel, and we went and got ice cream for his kid, and we sat on the floor and just talked about books in general, not necessarily his books, just books in general and writing and conventions. And it was just a really awesome one. And the other one is at the Sheridan, when Michael Rooker was here, he sat in the cafe and watched as people were walking by. And if he had a staff badge, he'd grab you and be like, "Hey, what's going on? How's your day? What are you doing?" And we'd just talk to him. And then as you were leaving, he'd be like, "Tell any staff out there to just come talk to me. Do you want me to sign something?" And he just signed. And he was just so genuine and happy and grateful for the staff to be there. And it was just an amazing moment.
That's really cool. One of the things that both Brandy and I talked about, and also Joe and I, was about, and you mentioned it as well, the guest telling their friends, telling their colleagues. And it's something I've heard from guests and comic creators, but you know, you gotta go to Phoenix Comic Con. They really know how to treat their guests right. They're very appreciative. You go, you show up, and they don't take it for granted. You don't just feel like, you know, for lack of a better word, cattle, you know,
yeah,
as they're being shuttled from place to place. So that's one thing Phoenix Comic Con, I feel, does extremely well. And like you said, when they're having a good time, the people they're meeting, that passion's going to come through.
Yeah.
When they're having fun, meeting their fans, it's just a better experience for everyone.
Yeah.
So I want to thank you, Jillian, for taking some time. Give us a little peek behind the curtain at what it takes to put on this a giant, massive behemoth show like Phoenix Comic Con, and to a lesser extent, Phoenix Fan Fest.
Thank you. It was good. It was very fun.